I invite you to go to Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6. Verse 1 reads this way, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" What a powerful statement. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, one of the things that comes to our minds is what happened upon the cross, right? We remember what Jesus did when he instituted the Lord's Supper. He was sitting down with his disciples, and he took up the piece of bread, and this is in the context of celebrating the Passover. And so there was a lamb that would be slain. Remember, the Passover was celebrating God passing over the homes of those who were trusting in God. They demonstrated their obedience and their faith in God by doing what? By taking the blood of the lamb and putting it on their doorposts and the lintel. And they were trusting that God would indeed keep his word. He'd pass over their homes. And you know what? God did. God kept his word, and we should not be surprised about that. But you know what? The Bible is a compilation of time after time God keeping his word, and we need that. That helps us as we trust in our God. And so Jesus, at this time of Passover, is taking this piece of bread, and he's doing something different. With his disciples surrounding him, he breaks it, and he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." This is my body that was broken for you. As we think about that time in the upper room, we remember that this was the time when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and he did this for them. He demonstrated his love for them. And here he's talking about his body that's going to be broken, and he is saying this is for you. You know, church, here we are today, and we profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this personal? Is it personal for you? Is the gospel of Jesus Christ truly personal for me in my life? As we think of this, what Jesus is doing with his disciples, the 12 certainly sitting around, and he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I want you to keep doing this, to remember what I'm doing, what I'm going to do for you. Now, of course, Jesus hadn't come to the cross yet, but you know, there have been several times recorded in the Gospels when Jesus had already said what was going to happen. "I am going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to go there, I'm going to suffer of the Gentiles, and I'm going to die, and then on the third day, I'm going to rise again." Now, the disciples, they didn't seem to pay much attention to what Jesus had said earlier, but now he's saying these things, and then comes the cup. And they would have had this wine, this fruit of the vine, and of course, probably most likely red in color. And so we have Jesus taking the cup. And he says, "This is the New Testament in my blood. Take this, drink, do this in remembrance of me." He said new. This is the New Testament in my blood. Blood, that's where the life is. So this Old Testament describes life is in the blood. You don't have blood, you're dead, right? You lose too much blood, you die. I've told you, I can't stand watching my blood being pumped out of my body. I don't know how some of you do it, but I closed the blood bank thing down, or whatever it is. You know, I was there laying on the stretcher. They wait for me to revive. Maybe I'm just super spiritual. Life is in the blood. There it is. It shouldn't be there. It should be here. I don't know. But you know this. But you know here we are, and it is Jesus, and he says, "This is the New Testament in my blood." And you know, there's not much said there in the immediate context about the disciples' response, but we realize they really didn't take it all in here. Because we know they go from there, we go out into the garden, and Judas then betrays Jesus. And then Jesus is taken off, and the disciples, they all vanish, right? You have John at the foot of the cross, you had Peter there, but he denied the Lord, and then off he goes. But the cross did come, didn't it? There was that whipping that Jesus endured, where at the hands of the Gentiles, at the Romans, they took strips of leather and put bones and glass on the ends, and they would whip the criminals. And it would just tear and break the flesh. And then he went to the cross, and he had this crown of thorns on his head, and they were nailed to the cross. And each puncture of that skin, not only is the body being broken, but blood is poured out. The ultimate conclusion of every crucifixion is death. You don't have any chances of walking away from the cross. You're condemned to crucifixion, you're condemned to die. You're nailed to the cross and hoisted up on Golgotha between two thieves. You're there to die. This is the New Testament in my blood, triggering, in, if you will, this idea that there is a new covenant, a new testament that is no longer going to be based upon the blood of animals, of lambs, and of goats. This reoccurring sacrifice that has to take place every year. But now there is new blood. There is a perfect blood, the blood of Jesus. And it's the perfect blood that in that blood you find forgiveness of sin. So Jesus does this with his disciples in that upper room. That very night that he is betrayed and turned over, he dies on the cross the next day. His blood is spilled. He is buried in the tomb. And then his followers huddle in fear. His followers wonder, what's next? His followers seemingly have forgotten what all he had said. But then, on the third day, early in the morning, he arose. And they came and they found that tomb empty. And they thought his body must have been stolen, but the angels come, God's very messengers come, and they speak into their lives. Why look for the living among the dead? He is not here. And so we have this incredible gospel truth that Jesus, he paid for our sin upon the cross. He died, and then he rose again. And the ordinances that God, as Jesus Christ, has given to us as the church provide this fullness, this picture for us. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're able to rejoice in forgiveness of sin. And in fact, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "Do this until I come." And baptism then builds on this as we contemplate and we think about identifying with Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. And being buried, he died, he was buried, and then he rose again, showing victory over sin and over death. And so Christians, the church, we ought to be men and women, boys and girls about the gospel. We ought to be the kind of people that realize that through Jesus Christ, we are dead to sin. This is the reality because of Christ's blood. And the question Paul asks, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, we have to be confronted. And the Bible does a great job with that. We have to be confronted not just with the encouraging words of God's love and of God's grace, but the challenging and convicting words of, what are you doing about sin in your life? Sin ought not to be a part of a Christian's walk. Now, I know that it might sound like, Pastor, you're expecting us to just be perfect angels. You know, the Bible doesn't say that we live life as perfect angels. But nevertheless, the Bible preaches that we ought to have the way of life as living holy people before God. Because of Christ's blood, we have the forgiveness of sin. And yes, we still sin, but you know what? The Spirit of God confronts us of that sin, and we lean on Him for His forgiveness, confessing it before Him. But Paul, writing here to the Roman believers, asking this very question, helps us identify, you know what? Sometimes we aren't acting like this. Sometimes we aren't living in such a way that we're dead to sin. We need to appreciate these confrontations from the Word of God. They may make us feel uncomfortable. They may frustrate us. But they are healthy for us. Paul continues, after this question of confrontation, he says, "Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death?" Yes. This incredible picture of the gospel, and Jesus is now, or Paul writing here, is now tying in this picture of baptism with Christ's death. So the question is, do you not know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Now, spiritually speaking, when we come to faith in Christ, what we're doing is we're saying, you know what? I understand, I see that the Scriptures teach, and I see what God's Word says, that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty of sin. And He died to pay the penalty of, get this, of my sin. And so therefore, as Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty of my sin, I identify with Him. I am in Christ. So Paul then goes on, he says, "Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So you have this contrast of you living in sin or walking in newness of life. Paul is explaining that as Christians, when we take the gospel and understand what Jesus has done for us on the cross, when we realize truly what has taken place, we should and can walk in newness of life. Now, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, when we observe baptism, whether we are the one being baptized or whether we are observing it as a church body, these are all opportunities for us to once again be confronted with the gospel. Paul says, verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." You see the surety, the confidence he has? Just like Jesus died, there was no way he was staying in the grave. He rose again. Verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Woo! I love that. I mean, how many times do you experience temptations, right? Several times a day or whatever, if you think about it, and you're experiencing a temptation to sin, we don't have to go that way. We don't have to walk into that sin. Yeah, it's a temptation. There's a luring out there. It's a carrot dangling. But because we are in Christ, we have been freed from sin. So the bondage that sin holds upon people, Christ has broken. And as by faith you have come to Christ, you have embraced the power of God to break that bondage of sin in your life. That's why when it says in Galatians chapter 5, he says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." He says, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. We have so much to celebrate because we, out of all people in the world, have been set free from sin. "Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Think about Christianity without the resurrection. What do you got? You're still dead, right? Because your Lord, he's still in the grave. So he might have done a lot of great things and taught a lot of, and maybe, but he's still dead. And so you embrace this great teacher, Jesus Christ, and yet he didn't rise from the dead. So therefore, of what value is that for you in your life? You're just like everybody else, following after who you want to follow after. But in the end, you die. And that's all you got. But that's not so for us in Christ. Do you hear the word of God? "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Do you believe that? Do you believe that just like you died with Christ, that in his resurrection you will live with him? Right? I mean, what joy we have. Now, "knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God." Whew. Now, not only will we live, but we'll keep on living. Right? Jesus Christ, he's the first one who rose from the dead, never to die again. And just like that, that Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, so we in Christ will be raised up and forever to live with God. So verse 11, likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how are you supposed to think, church? Reckon, it says. I'm dead unto sin. Sin does not have to have power over me. Now, you can let it. You know, we can find ourselves in bondage to sin, but we don't have to. You know, this is the tremendous hope that I have found in my dealing with fear, because I tell you, fear grips me, and I am in this cage. But I have learned that I'm not believing God when I'm gripped by fear. I am believing that I somehow can control this. And I can somehow, if I just muster it up and find the right way and the right way to think through this thing, that I can get deliverance. But so often I neglect the power of God in my life, the truth. So what am I doing? I'm not believing God. And I have experienced such great freedom. I'm not 100% at this. Just this past couple days I've been battling this. But you know, the truth of the matter is, I can trust God. I can go to him and not be in bondage to this, but I can find freedom in Christ. And so in that truth, so can you. And whatever struggles you have in your life, whatever you find yourself in bondage to, call it what it is. Call sin, sin. You see, the gospel deals with sin. So how are you to think? How am I to think? I am dead indeed unto sin, but I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're alive. I'm alive. And you know what? I'll be alive. You'll be alive forever and ever because of Jesus. So we have this time we celebrate. God sent his Son into this world when we were still sinners. God demonstrates his love that we might have everlasting life. I invite the men to come forward and help me with this time. As we celebrate what the Lord has done. And I want to remind you, you know what? We so often will speak in the past tense. Yes, the Lord went to the cross. That happened in the past. But you know what? The power is still going on. God still is setting people free. And that freedom that you have is a freedom that is active today in my life, your life. As we've already talked about, the Lord Jesus, he took the bread and he said, "Take, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."